Thanks for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbfvegas.org. Now here is Pastor Jim Cruz.
Happy New Year, Valley Vegas! Wasn't that a great video? I tell you, New Year means new beginnings. Are you guys ready for a new beginning for your life? So we're talking about this morning. I just have to say that before we go into the new year, you know, there's that moment where you start thinking about the previous year. And, you know, I just have to celebrate this as a church. You guys saw, a lot of you saw the video last week. And if you missed it, we like to do these end of the year videos to kind of recap everything that we've done as a church. And do you know, last year we had over 900 decisions to follow Christ in this church. Amazing. We had over 100 people make a decision to be baptized and to take their faith to the next level. And it's incredible. And you know, the outreach ministries that we were able to do, the people that we were able to feed, we've given thousands of pounds of food away every Saturday through our food ministry and through our brown bag ministry, through our outreaches like Rescue Mission, Adopt a Block, or Serve Las Vegas, Shannon West, all of these things. We are a church that is loving our city very well. So let's give it up for how you guys are doing it, living out the kingdom of God. And, you know, I just think of like highlights of my own life. I mean, you know, this last year, man, I've seen God do some healings, but last year there were about 3 physical healings that I was able to be a part of, laying hands on people and seeing their sickness and disease leave their bodies supernaturally. Do you know that the God of the Bible that healed people is still healing people today? Some of you may have given up on that God, but that God is still alive and well, and he's healing people. And to be used as a conduit of heaven and allow healing to take place in somebody's body is incredible. And I just think about last year, like those healings that I was able to witness and be a part of is amazing. The people that I was able to personally lead to Christ and just see their life make a 180, and the people that I've been able to come alongside and help develop them in their relationship with God. I mean, 2017 was a milestone year for me because it celebrated my 25 years of being married to the most amazing woman of God that I could have ever dreamed for or asked for. And you know, I saved up a lot of my pennies, and I had this marked on the calendar years ago, but we got to renew our vows on a beach in Maui, Hawaii, and celebrated that 25 years of marriage. And so I look back and I was like, wow, that was a cool experience and a year that I'll never forget. But, you know, sometimes the highlights get buried underneath the lowlights. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the tragedies, the not so good moments. You know, did you have a moment in 2017 that you just wish you had a do-over with? A conversation with a friend or a loved one, a family member, a decision that you made that in hindsight wasn't the best decision? How many of you wish you had a do-over for some moment in 2017? Yeah, come on. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. All right, because we all—it's just that way. What I love about technology, and technology is just kind of taking over, is every device, it seems like, that comes out has like a reset button, and you know, all of our devices have it. Game consoles, if you have an Xbox, if you're a gamer. My son loves the Xbox, and the other day he had a friend over, and I haven't played the Xbox in a long time, but there's this football game called Madden. Have you heard of it? It's like only been around for 30 years, right? So So I haven't played it in years. I played it years, and so my son's friend was over, and he was playing. I go, I'll play you in this Madden football game, and you'll beat me really bad. And I started winning the game. And I haven't played this game, and I started winning. And if you know anything about football, like I was like scoring touchdowns, and then he would get on the offense, and I kept intercepting his passes. And then by the fifth interception, he went down to the game console, and he hit a button, and the game disappeared. And I said, "What'd you just do, man?" He goes, "I didn't like that game. I reset the game." I go, "Man, you should have warned me. I was ready to go on your Snapchat or Instagram or whatever you kids are doing. And I was going to say, I'm whooping on a 16-year-old on this game console." But he beat me to it. And he hit the reset button. Have you ever had problems maybe with your Wi-Fi or your cable box? And you're just like, so it's not working the way it was designed to work. And so you find that little thing. Sometimes you got to get that paper clip out. And you got to bend. Have you been there? You bend that paper clip. And you find that little hole. And you're like, boop. And you push it. Because you go, it's like, it's not working right. So you got to reset it. There's that little button that you just press. And you got to use a magnifying glass to find it. But then you press it. And it's like, oh, it's working well. Or even on your phone. Sometimes you're on an app and it just kind of like gets jammed and you're just like, you think you're going to help it and you press your phone harder. You're like, I know it's going to get unstuck the harder I hit my phone and it doesn't work. Or your computer, it gives you that little spinning wheel and you're like, I don't know what it's doing. And then 5 hours later, it's still doing that. And you're like, it's stuck and you have to reset it. You know what I love about the new year? Is that no matter how many moments that you wish you could have back, the new year is an opportunity to press the reset button of your life for you to experience a new beginning in your life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about the reset button that God has installed within your life, because some of you need it. As you kind of think about your life and about some of the situations that are in, some of you feel like you're losing this game of life. And you're just like, I just feel like everything I'm a part of, I'm losing. And you want to hit that reset button. Others of you, you just feel like, man, my life isn't working well. I know this isn't what God has for me. I know that it's supposed to be working better. It is. I know this isn't the marriage God wants for us. It should be working better. And you just want to hit that reset button. Others of you, you just feel stuck. You just feel like somehow life has jammed you up and you can't move forward no matter how hard you're trying. And you just need to hit that reset button. So I'm going to pray and we're going to get into some verses and we're going to identify the 7 ways that you can hit that reset button. I like how T.D. Jakes says it before I pray. I have this quote, and I just think it's brilliant. If I always do what I've always done, I'll always be what I've always been. It's time for a new beginning and for us to hit the reset button. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and God, how you've given it to us to change us and reset us so that you can bring the new beginnings that you want to bring into our life and into our new year. Thank you for being the God of new beginnings. Anoint me as your vessel in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right. So let me give you the first way. Let's talk about this. Refocusing. Refocus. You know, there's something to be said about not being able to see where you're going. I don't know how many of you have ever driven through a dust storm, but this last year I drove through a dust storm. This is true. The dust was blowing so hard in the desert. As I drove across the desert, the pebbles of the sand embedded into my windshield. My wife got in the car. She goes, "What is wrong with your windshield?" I said, "It's been sandblasted." I never even knew that it could happen, but 80-mile-an-hour winds, I was driving the freeway. Diesel trucks were pushed over, and there was a few minutes that we were driving down a highway, and you literally could not see anything in front of you. And it's scary not to be able to see what's in front of you. Matter of fact, the Lord declares to us in a proverb that when you don't have godly vision, it's so easy to get turned around in life. It's so easy just to kind of get lost. Look what it says here. It says, without godly vision, people live unrestrained lives. See, some of you are finding yourself in the same place every year, year in and year out. And it's like you're doing circles. And the problem isn't with life. The problem is with you not being able to have a godly vision for your life. There is a destination that God has given to you, and he wants you to focus on that. And that is the only way you are going to make progress for your life. And Jesus declares to us in the Gospels, he says, if you want to make progress, make me your focal point. And as long as you're staring at me, no matter what is coming at you, you're going to make progress in your life. So stop looking around at all of these circumstances and start focusing on God and what he's up to in your circumstances. Listen to what Jesus says. He's on the water. He's walking on the water. The disciples are in the boat. Peter's the only one that has the tenacity to get out of the boat and come to Jesus and walk on water, all right? And then he gets out there, and he stops focusing on Jesus, and he starts looking at the wind and the waves. It says this in verse 30 of Matthew 14, but when Peter saw the wind and the waves, he became what, church? He became afraid and began to sink. You know, fear is the biggest thing that is going to sink your faith. Fear is going to be the biggest thing that is going to drown you in your life. And God says, in order to conquer fear and anxiety that wants to crush you and drown you and strangle you, you got to quit looking around at your circumstances and put your focus back on the one who is above and stands above all the time your circumstances in your life. You got to focus on him. Hebrews 12:2 says it this way. He says, we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. So the author of Hebrews is saying, focus on Jesus, who lived with vision. Jesus lived with godly vision. He says, he saw the joy ahead of him. So he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace that it brought him. Do you think Jesus easily went to the cross and was crucified? Do you think he just like woke up and was like, yeah, I'm going to be crucified today. You know, it's just what I do. No, it says that he was anguished about this, that at one point he was sweating drops of blood. The stress was so much on him that it actually collapsed the arteries there that are a part of your sweat glands, that he started sweating blood. He was in that much agony. But he was able to endure the most agonizing circumstance because he saw beyond that circumstance. When you see what God has waiting for you beyond what you're currently going through, it's going to be so much easier to get through what you're going through. Can you receive that this morning? There's always going to be wind and waves. There's always going to be wind and waves. They're going to try to get you to be afraid. But you got to make a declaration to yourself that I'm going to refocus and reframe myself to fix my eyes, to focus my sight, to look and give Jesus my full attention and stop paying attention so much to all the circumstances that are around my life. It's so important for us to be able to do that. Now, in the second way to hit the reset button for our life is we got to reassess our life. What's important? Reassess it. You know, it's so easy to make these proclamations. God is the most important thing in my life. But if you were to take a survey from other people that are around you, would they be able to identify that? See, when something is important to you, you ascribe value to it, and it comes out in not just how you spend money, not just like how you spend time. It comes out in your conversations. See, when something is of value for you, you can't help but talk about it. And there's some of you that want to say that God is the most important thing of your life, but you've got to assess the situation here, and you don't even talk about him. You don't spend time with him, and you definitely don't spend any money on him. And so you have to reassess the important things of your life. If God is important, then he's going to show up in conversations at work. You're going to be talking about him with your family. It's going to start in the most important for God's important. When you value your marriage, you're going to invest in it. I get really frustrated. Well, I have couples that they struggle in their marriage, and every year we do a couples retreat, and they listen to it, and they're like, but that's $300. But yet, they're going over there blowing money on all this other stuff. Let me tell you something. Healthy marriage is going to need investment to keep it healthy. You need to invest in that marriage. You need to save up and throw $300 in it, because the time to, you know, invest in your marriage is not when things are broken, but the time are doing okay, so things can stay okay. Matter of fact, that things can even get better. So, well, I need to sign up for that couples retreat. Well, here's the problem. It's too late. You waited too long. It's all sold out. But pray that we get more spots, because we were overwhelmed. We have a waiting list. Still sign up. We'll still try to get you involved in it, and we're praying that they'll give us more spots at the hotel, and we believe in faith that they're going to. But what's happened is we're not giving the things that we value the time. Our kids need our time. Our kids need us investing in them. We need to be investing in our kids and helping them become the disciples of Christ that he wants them to be. You know, can I give you a rhema today? Somebody here, you're grounding your kid from church, and that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody do as a parent. But that's the only thing they do, Pastor, so how can I discipline them? I can give you 30 different ways that you can discipline them outside of keeping them from the very place that is going to help them get closer to God. Come on! Wake up, Mom! Wake up, Dad! That's just the spirit of dumb. Can I say that? Summer camp every year, it's expensive. But you're investing in the eternity of your child. Certainly you can come up with $600 so that they can have a week of being able to get close with God and develop their faith that's going to be with them for all eternity. But here's the problem. A lot of us, we're spending time on doing things God never called us to do, making ourselves so busy that we're unable to do the things that God has called us to do. In our devotions, this popped up in James 4. Check this out. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that little kind of tap on the shoulder, that little pull of God to say, hey, I need you over here. I need you. I feel that all the time. But see, we can actually busy our lives so much, when we start getting tugged by God, it gets irritating. Like, I don't have time, God, I don't have time. You know what? Jesus always had time. Matter of fact, most of the miracles we read in Jesus' ministry happened as interruptions as he was on his way somewhere in his life. If you want to see miracles in your life, the key is always make yourself available to the interruptions that come in your life, because there may be a miracle waiting in that interruption. Can you receive that this morning? There may be a miracle in that. There may not be a coincidence that man strikes up a conversation with you at the gas station, all right? Now, if you're a pretty woman, there may be other motives there if the guy starts a conversation up with you. But, you know, I'm telling you that we're so busy saying yes to the things that God has never asked us to do that we're actually saying no to the things that God is calling us to do. So it's time to reassess. You want to hit the reset button and have a new beginning. Reassess what's important for your life. Number three, here's a good one. This is release the hurt and the guilt of your past. You know, we talk all the time about forgiving other people, but can I tell you, if you want to hit the reset button of your life, the biggest person that you need to forgive is yourself. You step into this new year knowing that, yeah, you made a foolish choice. Yeah, you know what? You shouldn't have done that. But guess what? The blood of Jesus was spilled to forgive you. And by you not forgiving yourself, you're saying that the blood of Jesus is not good enough to forgive you. So if you want to press the reset button, it begins by saying, God, I declare today that I forgive myself of my failures and my faults of my past. See, here's the reality. You can't change your past. Nobody can change your past, but anybody can create a new future. Anybody can do that. And God has called you and declared to you to hit the reset button to give you that new beginning for your life. And it starts with taking the stuff that you're stuffing now. I'll deal with it later. Are you a person that you just kind of, you don't know what to do with stuff, and you just throw it in a closet and you say, I'll deal with it later? You box it up and you put it in the garage and you say, I'll deal with it later? Some of you, let's be honest in church, all right? Some of you, you know, you've been doing this for years. You can't even park your car in your garage that is made for your car because you've been busy putting things off and just putting them in boxes and sticking them in the garage. Some of you, this is a picture of your garage. Let me show you. Boom. Some of you are like, how'd they take a picture of my house? We are so busy stuffing things and putting things aside. And let me tell you, you can get to a point where you're packing stuff so thick that it's hard to release it. And you could fill your life up so full because you're never releasing things that God is not able to do in you what he wants to do. And sometimes it's so stuffed in there, you're like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get it out. But here's the tricky part. If you don't draw attention to it and release the stuff, it's going to come at you in ways that are going to be very toxic to other areas of your life. People that are stuffers, that are life hoarders, you know what? It comes out in how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you treat your parents. People that refuse to deal with the stuff and get that stuff taken care of, it eventually comes out in how you react to circumstances. Because you see, stuffers have a problem with this undealt with hurt. And some of you, it's deep. I get it. You've been hurt as a child, and it's like I had to be, you know, the grown up, and so I got hurt, but I had to put it off, and I had to keep moving forward. And God's going to call you in your faith with him to finally deal with that hurt. He doesn't want you living with that hurt. He wants that hurt to be healed so that you can walk in the wholeness that he's called you to have for your life. He wants to give you a breakthrough with that hurt. So some of you, you just need to cry out to God and say, God, I've put off dealing with this hurt, but I want to pray a King David prayer and say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I'm still carrying stuff when I was a 4-year-old little girl. I'm still carrying stuff when I was a 9-year-old little boy, and it's time I got to deal with it. And the first place I'm going to deal with it is I'm going to give it to you, because I believe that you are Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord that not only heals disease, you're the Lord that heals the hurt that is deep in my heart. And you know, sometimes it's so stuffed in there that you need to let other people in on it. James 5 that we read, it says, confess your sin or your issues to one another and you'll be healed. See, some of you, God's calling you this year to let other people into your life. Get in a life group. We're re-kicking life groups off in a couple weeks. And I'm telling you, when you circle up with other people, other single people your age, other married couples in your life stage with little kids or grown-up kids, when you start circling up with people and you start allowing people into those deep, dark areas of your heart, it's amazing the healing that can take place when you just start coming clean with other human beings. How many of you have joined a life group and will attest that life groups can change your life? Just give me applause, give me an amen, give me something. The life groups are where it's at. But even some of you, it's deep. And you know, there's nothing wrong with a person that is pursuing Jesus to say and admit, I need some professional counseling. I would recommend go to a Christian counselor, but it might be so, like, you know, trash compacted. You're just packing it in. Have you ever got in your trash can and you have one more bag of trash and you get on there and you're stuffing it? You're like, I know I can get it in here. You know, you need a professional to help get that stuff out. And we have some great Christian men and women in our community that are professional counselors, and you could call the office and we'll give you references and say, but they cost money. Isn't your pursuit of Christ and you being healed of these hurts worth a little bit of money if you know that it's going to further you in what God has for your future? You should be willing to ante up and do that. As we look at this, number four is remove extra weight. This is a real easy one because some of you, you're carrying people that God never told you to carry. You're carrying burdens God never told you to carry. And you know what? Eventually, when you're carrying those 100-pound backpacks, it starts getting tiring, and you start getting worn out, and pretty soon you're not walking the same way, and pretty soon you're sitting down. See, extra weight will stop progress, and some of you need to hit the reset button and deal with the extra weight that you've allowed to stay in your life. Extra weight could be relationships that God is saying, hey, you can love them from a distance, but you don't have to be their savior. See, some of you are actually working against God, working in a person, because you are being the savior you've never been called to be, and you're preventing that person from going to the savior that is actually going to help set them free. You're being an enabler, and not only are you weighing yourself down, you're keeping somebody else from their breakthrough. I'm speaking to somebody's heart. I didn't say that first service, so there you go. That's a word for somebody. And God is saying, this is the year. It's going to be tough, but God hasn't called you to carry the extra weight. And that extra weight is not only hurting them, it's keeping you from the progress that God wants to bring for you and your future. So receive that. Number five is reaching out to others. Some of you, to feel that unstuckness, that things to start working right, it gets your attention off you. Stop letting the world revolve around you, because that's misery. The blessing is when you let the world revolve around other people and you learn to give yourself away and you start seeing the needs of other people as more important than the needs in your own life. And there's something cool the way God wired us. As we help other people out, God turns around and gives us exactly what we needed in a crazy way by us helping other people. Listen to this proverb. It says, Proverbs 11:25, it says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. See, what happens, it's kind of a vicious cycle. We get discouraged and depressed, and so we don't go out and minister to anybody. And then we wonder, like, how am I going to get out of this discouragement and depression? We're waiting for somebody to come and encourage us, and nobody comes and encourages us. And so that just festers in our life, and we keep getting in a darker and darker pit of despair, when in reality, God is telling us the antidote isn't to wait for somebody to come and refresh our soul. The antidote is to go out there in your discouragement and refresh somebody else's soul. And by you stepping out of your own comfort zone and refreshing somebody else, you are going to receive the exact refreshment you've always wanted and were waiting on for yourself. You gotta step out sometimes, even when you don't feel like it, to receive the encouragement that you've been praying for. The key is learning how to reach out to other people. Some of you, the reset button this year is God is calling you to become an anointed extrovert. Some of you are like, I don't even like to talk to people. You know what? There's going to be a new, fresh anointing on you that that you're going to be talking to people in lines at the grocery store. You're going to be that person on the airplane striking up a conversation with that person. God's giving you a fresh anointing because there is somebody out there that you're going to minister to that is going to turn around and give you something that you've been waiting for all of your life, but you're not going to get it until you step out of your own comfort zone and speak to that person. That's the only way it's going to come. And that's something we got to hold on to, is reach out to others. Number six, renew your mind. I mean, I'm going to leave this here because it really says it all in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. This time of the year is so funny in the gym because the gym is packed. You know, with all these people like, I'm going to get in shape. You know, because see, here we all realize that, you know, running to Krispy Kreme three times a week and getting Big Macs four times a week and drinking milkshakes, you know, five times a week eventually is going to catch up. And we realize that, well, we got to do something. So we go to the gym because we go, our shape is dependent on how we take care of our body. See, your mind has a shape to it. And your mind is going to be shaped based upon how you're treating it. And so some of you know your mind does not have a good shape to it. You're like, I don't like the shape of my mind. You can't see it in the mirror, but you can see it in your thoughts. You're like, I don't like the thought bubbles that keep popping in my mind. If the person only knew some of the thought bubbles that I've had this week that's sitting next to me, they would switch rows in the church. They'd be like, they wouldn't even want to sit by me if they knew some of the thought bubbles that have popped in my mind. You know, that's a shape. And God's saying to hit the reset button. He wants to renew our minds. That word transform means to change. You want to change your life, then you got to start by renewing your mind. And the best way to do that is you start getting your mind back in shape, filling it with the thoughts that God wants you to have. How do you do that? More time in the Word, more time in worship. This year, some of you hitting the reset button and renewing your mind, you make a declaration, say, hey, I always get in the car, listen to talk radio or country music or hip hop or whatever your flavor is. You know, I prefer the 80s music because that's, you know, the best music ever. But sometimes God says, I know that's what you love, but this is how you're going to reshape your mind. You're going to exercise your mind by worship music. And some of you, this whole calendar year, God's saying, I want you to make a resolution that all you're going to listen to is worship music when you're in the car, and see how that is going to reshape how you think about things. And getting into, you know, texting verses to a group of friends and having them text you verses, those are all ways you're going to reshape it. See, but there's also the problem of keeping your mind from going into the gutter. And what I've discovered on bowling, I don't bowl very much. Pastor Jerry, do you know that Pastor Jerry's a professional bowler? He's bowled 40 perfect games. He's an incredible bowler, all right? So, but if you bowl with me, there's this little button that you can push at the bowling alley that these little rails pop up. And say, well, that's cheating. I don't care because I get mad when the ball goes in the gutter. And it just rolls, and it just like those little pins just taunt me, and they're just like neener neener neener. So I put the rails up because I'm like, I am hitting at least one pin. I'm not letting that ball go in there. You say you're a grown man; those are for little kids. I say to you, I don't care. I am not letting that ball go in the gutter. And the same for our minds, like we need to put rails up in our minds to keep them from going into the gutter. And a rail might be like blocking yourself. There's no verse that says you can't go and watch R-rated movies. There's no verse that says you can't listen to all this profanity and whatever. But you know, God does call us to wholeness, and He does call us to righteousness. And we got to be honest with ourselves. And there's things that we subject our minds to that make it easier for our minds to go in the gutter. You know what I'm talking about? And there's some things that maybe God is saying, you need to put up a rail, a guardrail, to keep your mind from the gutter this year, okay? So renew your mind. And finally, is refuse to give up. Can I tell you something? If the devil can't make you bad, he's going to come at you with a second weapon, and that is he's going to make you want to quit. And here's what I know is true for successful people. Successful people are the ones that never quit even when they felt like quitting. Successful people are the ones that didn't throw in the towel when they felt like they couldn't go on anymore. Some of you this year, you have felt like quitting your job. Some of you felt like throwing in the towel on your marriage, and I can't do this anymore. Some of you have even entertained that dark thought of quitting life and taking your own life. Let me tell you, that's real. That stuff happens. But it's the devil. It's demonic. Because what the devil knows is that right around the corner are the promises of God waiting for you. What the devil knows is around the corner are the breakthroughs and the miracles, and he's trying to get you to quit because he knows that if you get around the corner, he's lost you. And you're going to be this vessel that are going to bring other people into God's kingdom. So he's trying to snuff you out. He's trying to take your marriage out. He's trying to get you away from your job so he can paralyze you and make you quit before you get to the promises that God has waiting for your life. Can I just have you just lean over to your neighbor and say, don't quit. Don't give up. Can you just proclaim that over them? Refuse to give up. So here's where we're going. If you apply these things, you're gonna reset the button in a lot of things of your life. God has a new beginning waiting for some of you with your marriages. There's a new beginning. You hit that reset button, there's a new marriage waiting for you. There's a new beginning for some of you just in your faith. Maybe this has been a really discouraging year in your faith and pursuit of God. I'm telling you, the reset button is going to allow you to get your faith up and running again and on fire again like it used to be. Some of you, that new beginning is raising your kids the way God wants you to raise them. Some of you, the new beginning is becoming a healthier person. You know, God doesn't want you just to take care of your soul. God wants you to take care of your body. That's biblical. This isn't, you know, some kind of a health session, but it's biblical to look at that. God doesn't want you sick all the time. And some of us, let's just face it, we're sick because the way we're treating our bodies. And God's saying, I've got a new beginning for your health this year. If you just listen, if you just hit that button. And you know, I believe that new beginnings are part of God's plan for our life. Listen to this in Ephesians. I'm way over time here. So get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to. The old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. And you must put on the what, church? The new self, which is created in God's likeness and reveals itself in the true life that is upright and holy. And 2 Corinthians, this is on the video, says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. New beginnings. But here's the crazy part. You know, new beginnings aren't just for us as individuals. You know, churches have new beginnings. This church stepping into 2018 has some new beginnings that have come to our attention. And we're excited to share about them as we step into this new year as a church. We want to bring you in on this. So Pastor Doug, would you come on out and give it up for Pastor Doug, who's been just an amazing servant of God. And some of you don't know this, but in 2017, this church had its first baby. And the baby was a church plant that was planted in San Luis Obispo, California, by Pastor Adam Magana. And we were so excited. So in 2017, he had his first service, and over 400 people showed up for the very first service. That is unheard of. It's unheard of. And we celebrated with him. We got behind him financially and prayerfully and all the ways that we can launch this new church and have this new baby. And we felt prophetically years ago that the Lord told us that our church was going to have many babies. And so as a pastor, you know, as one of the lead pastors here, I was like, you know, okay, you know, we're going to have many babies. What we didn't see happening is a new baby right behind the baby that we just had. And I don't know how many of you families out there got pregnant and were excited about your new baby. And then like, you know, a couple of months after you had the baby, you realize that you're pregnant again. And, you know, the first baby, you're like, oh man, we're so excited. And then, you know, then you're like, this is weird. And then you do the test and you're like, this can't be real. And then you go do three more tests. And then you're like, it's real. Then you go to the doctor and he's like, yeah, that happens. And you're not ready for it. But then you get pregnant so quickly after the first. Has that ever happened to any ladies in the room here? Okay. They're like, that happened to me a couple of times. And that's just the nature of how this works. Well, we as a church were not prepared for what God unfolded this last year. And what God unfolded this last year is a group of people in Thousand Oaks, California, have approached me and my wife in Valley Vegas Church and have asked us to begin a new church in Thousand Oaks, California. And through a series of crazy events, God has made it crystal clear that this is of Him, which then put me in a predicament because I had Pastor Adam ready to go. He had the dream in his heart. And I don't have somebody really prepared to do this new work that just kind of landed on our doorstep unexpectedly. And so what we have done in prayer is not only do we feel like this is of God, I kind of feel responsible that I need to be the one to get this baby up and running and get this thing taken care of and off the ground. And so we had to circle up as a leadership over the last few months and try to figure out what that looks like for us as a church stepping into the new year. And when God kind of was showing us about this, I have to be honest with you, I was a little nervous because Pastor Ron, who founded this church, the Bakersfield Church, started a church in Ventura. And the geography is Thousand Oaks is only about 30 minutes from Ventura. So I was kind of concerned that, you know, am I starting competition with my own father-in-law? That can't be good. And so I brought him in on what was happening and how all of these strange things were occurring. And he shocked me, to be honest with you. He shocked me and he goes, this is of God. I'm fully supportive of it. And he says, you need to go and do this, Jim. God is calling Valley, Las Vegas. He's calling Jim and Tara Cruz to get this thing up and running. And let me tell you, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it in place of you. And so I was like, wow, I've never heard him talk like that. And he goes, the timing couldn't have been more perfect for me. He said, I have been praying about getting more involved in Las Vegas. I just feel like this is kind of a child that we gave birth to years ago. And because of some health reasons, he had to step back in 08. And that's when I came in and started leading it. And he said, I just handed off the baton to the Ventura young men that began the church with them, and they're leading the church now, so I'm freed up. He said, this isn't a coincidence. He said, I can free myself up and be more involved at the Las Vegas church so that you can be freed up to spend time with the new baby in Thousand Oaks, California. And I'm like, that sounds pretty good to me. Because honestly, I prefer Pastor Ron's teaching over mine anyway. But so he's kind of like, you know, offering himself to be more available for our church so that Tara and I can maybe even take some of you with us and we can get this church off the ground. And we're not launching this church till September. September 16th is the launch date. Well, we don't have a name for it yet. And so there's a lot of things that need to be done that need our attention to kind of get this thing up and running. But this would be the moment, just like we had a few couples that prayed about going with Pastor Adam. We sent some people with Adam to San Luis Obispo, California, and they are now living in San Luis Obispo, helping Pastor Adam lead this new life-giving church in San Luis Obispo. So some of you, even with this message today, you're like, whoa, God has been talking to me about Southern California. God's been talking to me about Thousand Oaks. This is crazy. It's probably of God, but let me just tell you, I don't have a job for you. I can't pay you. Don't go over there unless you can transfer your job. I don't want to get this thing going and then have you be the first in line at our food pantry because you don't have a job and you're homeless. So make sure that you can transfer and get all that stuff and say, I want to be available. And how cool would it be to see a church start from scratch? That sounds pretty exciting. So I want you to know God, for some reason, has chosen our church with the second baby to expand the kingdom of God. And this time it's Thousand Oaks, California. And I'm going to be the one helping nurture it. So I brought Pastor Doug out because I want you to know that really, honestly, as you sit there, nothing is changing here. This has kind of always been how it is here. And Pastor Doug is not going anywhere. He tried to retire last year, and I talked him out of it. I shouldn't say I talked you out of it. I think God talked you out of it. So he realized God's not done with his ministry yet. And so Pastor Doug, been here. Pastor, do you have a dad chair in your house that, like, hey, only dad sits there? And if dad comes in the room, you get up and you move because, a dad or grandpa. It's like the Pastor Doug is like the dad of the church, and he's been the dad of this church for a long time. And so what we're doing is we feel in this transition that Pastor Doug really has always been the campus pastor, but we're giving him the official title as campus pastor, as a dad to work in tandem with Pastor Ron and lead this church because he does such a good job. So I want you to just tell these people. I know we're a little over time, but Pastor Doug, maybe you can just share with them a little bit about this and make people see the vision.
Yeah, for some of you that are new to the church, and new could be the last 2 or 3 years, this church is 16 years old it's been a very unorthodox church because it was birthed out of our main campus in Bakersfield, California. The pastors have always traveled back and forth. Some have lived here, as Pastor Jim lived here for a period of time and then had to travel again. So this is about the fifth change of somebody coming into the captain's chair, okay? It was Pastor Ron, then Pastor Jim for a while, Pastor Ron again, Pastor Jim for the last, how many years? 10, 11?
11 years.
Last 11 years. And now Pastor Ron's going to jump back in the captain's chair again. So it's very typical for this church, but if you're new, it might seem like a big change, but it's really not. It's just kind of the history of our church here. Pastor Ron's super excited to jump in that captain's chair. Vicki and I and the rest of the staff, we're going to help him steer it. Keep things going. Every time that we've had a new captain jump in, the church has had an immediate growth. I don't know how that's happened or why it's happened, but it's happened. And so I'm fully expecting that with this new addition, with Pastor Ron coming and working through the existing staff, we're just going to shoot up as Pastor Jim goes down. And again, just a reminder, the number one way that they found that the kingdom of God grows, that people become Christians, is through church plants. And so this is a good kingdom move. I know Pastor Ron's excited. Our staff's excited. I'm excited. Anyway, I hope that you're excited.
Well, I got to tell you, too, when the Lord began doing all of these miracles to kind of show us what he was doing through launching this church in Thousand Oaks, I felt that prophetically. I felt like there was something that this church needs to take it to the next level that I don't have in my tool belt that Pastor Ron does. And so by him coming over here, spending more time with the kids, he's going to be able to impart something to take us to that next level. So I believe it's a double blessing. The kingdom of God is expanding, and I believe Valley Las Vegas is going to grow to the next level of what God has called us to be as a church. So it's exciting. Yeah. And I'm not like, I'm going to be spending time with the baby, but it doesn't mean you're getting rid of me. So, you know, I'll be back on the 28th. Pastor Ron will be here the next two Sundays. He's going to go back-to-back Sundays. Then I'll be back on the 28th. So for the most part, well, I mean, we've been living this way for as long as we've been together as a church, but our rotation's just going to be a little bit different than it's been. You're going to probably see Pastor Ron more, me a little bit less. But for the most part, you know, it's the same old, same old. You're going to come here. God's going to speak to you, slap you around a little bit. And then, you know, you're going to go out there and you're going to be a better follower of Jesus, because what is being preached in this church by all the different people, because, you know, we have some great gifted, talented men and women of God that can speak amazing words, including this man right here. He can throw down himself. So
I want to thank you. Before we completely move into this next season, I want to appreciate the season that we just currently had. I told Pastor Jim last night, we had the leader. We brought the leaders in last night and told all the leaders first before we told the congregation. And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Jim has brought this church to a place that I couldn't have brought it to. I'm not gifted. I'm gifted in different areas, but his gifting was used to get this church to where it's at today. We've experienced tremendous growth in the last 10 years, and I appreciate, number one, the pressure that senior pastor's under. I appreciate him enduring that pressure here. I also appreciate the fact that he spent, he calculated it, was basically every year he drove around the world from back and forth in Bakersfield and different things.
Through the years, I've driven back and forth 378,000 miles.
Yeah, and didn't have to do that. Had a good job in Bakersfield and came over here because he felt called and made the sacrifice. And so I want us to appreciate the sacrifice that he made and the contribution that he's had to the church.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now don't make me cry, but I appreciate that.
So, 2018, here we go.
I thank you guys so much. I'm a little hoarse, too, because I was at the Rose Bowl game on Monday, and I thought by yelling at the football team, I would change the end results, because I'm an Oklahoma Sooner fan, and I was wanting to hit the reset button on that game. Because they ended up losing, but my voice is a little bit still damaged from that day. But, you know, I love you guys. And I've worn out 5 or 6 vehicles all these years, and every mile was worth it. Every mile was worth just being able to be a part of your lives, because what you don't know is you've changed my life more than I've ever changed yours. So I really appreciate this church, and I'll be hanging out in the cafe. You know, if you just, you know, want to ask me questions, or if there's something that you know is on your heart that you want to share with me, if you're mad at me, you know, save your conversation. Don't unfriend me. You know, I'm not. Don't take this as I'm rejecting you. You know, I just got to go spend time with the new baby, all right? That doesn't mean I don't love you, and it doesn't mean that I'm not going to spend time with you. Remember, I'll be back on the 28th, and we're just going to be in each other's family. We're just seeing the kingdom of God expand. But we're over time, but I'll turn it over to Pastor Doug to just pray us out of here and just give us that new beginning that God so desperately wants, not just for this new church in Thousand Oaks, but more importantly, what God has for your life, for your family, and all the things about your life. So, Pastor Doug.
All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we're excited, God. I think about that scene in the book of Acts, where Paul is on the beach and he's saying goodbye, and the people are saying, no, don't leave. And he says, don't break my heart. I have to. This is, God has me going somewhere else. And it's always hard, Lord, when seasons come and assignments change, and yet, God, the kingdom of God goes on. That's the constant thing in the church and in life is change. And so, Lord, we're embracing this new season. Thank you for the one that we had. We're very excited about this new year that we have ahead of us, God, for a new chapter in the life of our church, God. I pray for anybody here today, and I don't, we're long, so I'm not going to be long, but you're here and you're not right with God. You're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. You're doing stuff you know you shouldn't be doing. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, man, there's something here that I need. I don't know what it is, but there's something real here. What that is, it's a very real God. It's God who sent his son to die for you and I, saying we're all born into sin. And you can be forgiven of your sin. And you can be relieved from the power of it if you'll acknowledge it, if you'll believe that God's solution is Jesus Christ. He came to earth. Our sin, your sin, was placed upon him. He died, judged, so that we might live, so that we could be forgiven. He'll give you a gift if you receive that. It's called the Holy Spirit. He'll come inside of you, and you'll be called born again, a new you, new desires, new power over sin. That's available for you today, but you must acknowledge God. You must agree with God that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you're here today, or maybe you've done that, and life gets confusing, events happen, you get turned around, you got sideways, you're in a ditch. You've come away from God, you've fallen away. Come back today. Say, you know what, I got to get back on track. I know how I'm living is not right. If you're here today and you want to make that decision, let me just pray with you. Just, who am I praying for? Raise your hand. Just say, today's the day. Today's the day. I'm giving Christ my life. Yeah, raise your hand. I'm giving my life to Christ. Yeah, hands all over. Raise them. Raise them up. Who am I praying for? Humble yourself, the Bible says, and God will lift you up. Who needs a Savior today? Who needs to be saved from their sin? Who needs to be saved from their addiction? Who needs to be saved from their remorse? Raise your hand up. Father, right now I pray. You that raise your hand, I want you to pray with me. Everybody pray with him together. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Forgive me, God. I receive Jesus Christ as the Savior today. Come inside of me, Holy Spirit. Make me born again. Thank you, God. Congratulations. You that made a decision, welcome to the family of God. Glad to have you. Okay. Thank you so much. Please say thank you to the nursery workers. Their hair is going to be standing straight up by the time you get there. Your kids are driving them nuts. Tell them thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message has ministered to your heart. If you live in the Las Vegas area, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We are located at 4500 West Sahara Ave, just east of Decatur Boulevard. We'd love to hear from you and pray for you in anything you may be going through right now. Reach us by phone at 702-254-2251 or visit our website at vbfvegas.org.